Thank you, Pastor. It is a privilege to be with you, and we certainly appreciate the opportunity to be able to share our burden and our heart for Korea here at your missions conference. I think I have this on.
It's scratching. Sorry, pardon me, Mike. I mentioned yesterday in Sunday school, I had the opportunity to be able to grow up on the mission field. My parents were missionaries in South Korea from 1971 till 1980. And those were some interesting years over in Korea. Most of the time that I remember, the city of Seoul was under a very strict curfew from 8 o'clock until sometime after I woke up the next morning. And I remember times going out to the, we lived at the base of a hill. On top of the hill there was an old school. It was a high school at the time, and they had little, the best way to describe it would be like watchtowers at the corner of the school. And my dad figured out that he could get inside there. And I don't know if we were supposed to or not, but my dad would take my brothers and I, we'd climb up inside and get up on top of that tower. We could watch the warplanes as they flew over and patrolled over the city of Seoul. And it was very interesting times. Unfortunately, we came home in 1980. My dad left our family and divorced. My mom ran away with the young lady that we had living with us over in Korea. And so you can imagine that that devastated our family. But thankfully, the Lord is gracious and answered my mom's prayer. And I know you folks have met my mom, because mom used to sleep in the nursery over at Whitewater. And when you were there for meetings, we'd come over and things like that over to the church. But my mom was faithful, and she was left destitute with four children, and all four of us are serving the Lord in full-time vocational work. And so we thank the Lord for that. But I want to focus this morning on the book of Acts in chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. You know, last night we had opportunity to be able to witness the work of God in the life of a person overseas, and how exciting that was. I want to continue here in Acts chapter 1. I want to read verses 6 through verse 11. Beginning verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when they had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to share your word. Lord, I pray that you would use this vessel as a channel of your spirit. Lord, that you would speak to the hearts of the people here this morning. Lord, that you would speak to my heart. Father, that we would grow in our relationship with you. And Father, that we would be better witnesses of the message that you have entrusted us with. It's for your honor and glory we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many enjoyed that last night, being able to get on Skype? And I really enjoyed it. And Brother McLean, I'm sorry, but the whole time that you were doing this, I was just looking forward to the opportunity that I'll have to be able to do the same thing with the churches that support us. To have a Korean man, a Korean family, and see their life change. And how that draws us into the story to be able to see the witness. And yet in our lives, each of us individually are witnesses of Jesus Christ. What is the definition of a witness? A witness is one who can who can give a firsthand account of someone or something. Now you might be saying, wait a minute now, you young whippersnapper. I'm not 2,000 years old. What do you mean I'm a witness of Jesus Christ? You're a witness of Jesus Christ in the fact that all of us, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you can give a firsthand account of what God has done in and through your life. You don't know how God has worked in my heart. I was a bitter, angry young man after 10 years old. I was 31 years old before I finally fully surrendered everything to the Lord and said, okay, Lord, I will follow your leading in my life. I will not follow my dad's footsteps. And all of us can testify of what God has done in our lives. Here in this passage of Scripture, we have Luke, the physician. He continues the narrative that he began in the book of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, he tells us what Jesus began. He gives account of his earthly ministry. Now we get to Acts. And Luke begins to, as he's writing to Theophilus, he continues the story of the gospel through this time. But now it's not through Christ, although it's through Christ, but now it's the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers such as you and me. And you look at the book of Acts and you read the story of the Apostle Paul and his testimony and how God used him and in writing most of the New Testament. You hear the stories, you read the stories of Peter and how the Lord worked in his life and Timothy and how many of us would desire in our life, and I hope in your life you would desire to be used of God in the way that these men were. And yet today God is the same yesterday and today and forever. We serve the same God, and as Paul turned the world upside down for the gospel, yet today we also can turn the world upside down for the gospel because we serve the same God. And in this passage of Scripture, Luke is encouraging Theophilus to be the witness that Christ would have him to be. And today I also want to encourage you to be the witness that Christ would have us to be. The type of witness such as the Apostle Paul. The type of witness such as Peter or Philip or John, the other apostles. And so the question then is, how can we today, as believers, be this type of a witness that we would desire to be? I want to give you several principles that I believe will help us to be the witness that Christ would have us to be. First of all, we need to realize that the power of the witness is the Holy Spirit. Look with me at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? The disciples, they come together. Christ has already, the resurrection has already taken place. Christ is, perhaps this is the last time that Christ meets with the disciples. And in fact, if you read the context that we just read, it is the last time, because as he finishes here, he rises up and goes up into heaven. And so the disciples, they come together and they ask of the Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And you got to understand what their mindset was. They're looking for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel, the time such as the time of Solomon or King David in the glory years of the kingdom of Israel. But look with me at the response that Jesus asked. And before we go any further, be careful. Because before we criticize the disciples too much, we need to be careful. Because so often we ask a very similar question. Lord, it's been 2,000 years. Are you coming back? Isn't that what we're looking for? We're looking for the return of the Lord, and the response would be the same. In verse 7, Jesus responds to the disciples. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Essentially, what Christ is saying here to the disciples is, listen, you don't have the authority to question God. You look at the word power in the original language, it is the word exousia. It's talking about the one who is the source of all power. The one who, through the spoken word, created into existence this entire universe. That's exousia. And Jesus is saying, you don't have this authority. It's a good thing. If I had that authority, I would create some kind of a money tree. Perhaps I was a mechanic for the years that I was essentially running from the Lord. And in my carnal mind, I would probably create into some sports car that I wouldn't have to ever work on. Exousia. The power of God, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The one who is the source of all power. But then Jesus continues the response in verse 8. As he says, but ye shall receive power. That's the word dunamis in the original language. And it refers to the power of God that he allows us as his children to possess. You know, isn't it exciting that we don't have to go out in our own strength? We don't have to go in our own power, in our own wisdom. Because we have the power of God in our lives that as his children he allows us to possess. When do we receive this power? Jesus says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus is looking forward here to Acts chapter 2, where the disciples are about to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. But as believers today, when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we are indwelled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's the power that it's through that power that God allows us as his children to possess that we can accomplish the work of God in our lives. We have his power in our life. I remember growing up in South Korea. And South Korea is in landmass approximately the same as the landmass of the state of Indiana. Indiana, if you have driven through Indiana at all, you find out very quickly is very flat. You can see for miles if you can get up over the corn stalks. South Korea is 73% mountainous. It's very rugged coastal mountains. And I remember we were living in Dongdaemun, Seoul, and we lived up the side of a mountain, and we lived on the left-hand side of the highway. And we could stand on a little balcony of our house and look out across the highway where they were dynamiting the mountains and trying to make level surfaces for them to build skyrise apartments. And it was always fun to watch them as they would rappel down the side of the mountain, the face of the mountain. You see the guys, they'd be drilling holes, and they'd be packing the holes with dynamite and things like that and putting that fuse in there. And then all of a sudden, you would see them as they would just rappel the rest of the way down the mountains, and the sirens would go off, and we could clearly hear the sirens. As those sirens would go off and everybody would scatter. And you know the dynamite that was up in that mountain, inside those holes, at that point was not very powerful. You could have probably, you know, you think of an M80 or something like that, you handle it. It's not very powerful in and of itself, is it? But those sirens would go off, and all of a sudden they would flip that switch, and the power would go up into that dynamite. And boy, this huge explosion that would shake the foundations of our house would go off. And you'd see the plume of smoke as they go up into the sky. And you know, it's the same thing in our lives as believers. We don't have power until the Holy Spirit is within us. And then we have the electricity in us, the power of God that he allows us as his children to possess. And it's through that power that we have the opportunity to accomplish God's will in our life. Let me ask you, are you daily in God's Word, learning the principles of Scripture? Are you tapping in to the source of power? What's your prayer life like? Are you communicating with God? Are you feeding the inner desires of the Holy Spirit within you? Or have you given in to the cravings of the flesh that war against the Spirit? I remember my uncle oftentimes, we would laugh about, we had dogs out on the farm. And this would have been in the years after my dad left. And we'd have the two dogs. And, you know, somebody once in a while would come by and, don't the dogs fight? Well, sure they do. And which one of them would win? My uncle would always laugh a little bit. And he'd say, the one that you feed the most. You know, and I've heard that illustrated. My uncle used to always say it all the time. And it was true. The dogs would fight. And the dog that got the most food was the one that would win the fight, generally. Even the cats that would catch the most mice would be the cat that won. And in the Christian life, the spirit that you feed the most, whether it be the Holy Spirit or the spirit of the flesh, is the spirit that's going to win. Are you giving in to the Spirit today? To the Holy Spirit, because it's through Him that we have the power of God in our lives. And if we're going to be the witness that Christ would have us to be, we need to realize that the power of the witness is the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we need to realize that the message of the witness is Jesus Christ. You know, it's always disconcerting, Brother Gilmore, when you look down in your notes and your principal is not there. I just did that. And I don't know why it's not there, but that is the principal. The message of the witness is Jesus Christ. Look with me as we continue in verse 8. Ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Pastor Lane. That's not what it says there. I'm glad it doesn't say ye shall be witnesses unto Barack Obama. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, I'm not real strong in my English grammar. That's why the Lord gave me the wife that I have. But I do recognize here that we have a pronoun. And in this case, a pronoun is referring back to the person whom is speaking. Who is speaking? Christ. And Christ says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. What is the message about Christ that we are supposed to be so bold to witness of? It's the message of His holiness. That God, have you ever thought about the holiness of God? The fact that He is so holy that He is separate from His own creation? Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13 tells us that He can't even look on sin. God is a holy, righteous God. But not only is God a holy God, but He is a just God. And because He is a just God, He cannot tolerate sin. We have Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Because God is just, there is a just payment for that sin. Because God is holy, there is a just payment for that sin. But God is also a loving God, and He sent His Son to pay the penalty for our sin. John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is also a gracious God, and He offers this gift of His Son to all men. What is our responsibility? That if thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. Brother Gilmore did such a great job yesterday defining the difference between profession and possession. And oh, it is so vital for us to communicate to God. How do we communicate to God? Through prayer. And to call out to Him and admit that we are sinners against a holy and a righteous God who has set a just payment for our sin. And call out to Him and ask for His forgiveness. He offers it freely to us, but we must accept it. And we must repent. The message of Christ is a message of repentance. That's what we are to testify of. That's what we are witnesses of. And if Christ has saved you this morning, you ought to be testifying of what He has done, giving that firsthand account of what He has done in your life. I want you to imagine this morning that you're sitting here and there's a trial going on. You have the defense over here, you have the prosecution over here. And it gets to a point where, actually it'd be reversed, wouldn't it? Defense and prosecution. And you get to the point in the trial where the defense attorney believes that it's the best interest for the defendant to bring a character witness up onto the stand. What is a character witness? A character witness is one who can testify, can give a firsthand account of the character of the individual. What he is really like, whether it be in a crowd, by himself, with the parents. So often we see children that they're so good when they're with their parents, and this is a fear of ours. They're so good when they're with mom and dad, but then they get off with a youth group someplace. What are they acting like? A character witness can testify of what they're really like. So this character witness, he gets up on the stand, and he begins to tell the court all about the wonderful times that he had with this person as he was growing up with him, went kindergarten through high school and playing basketball with him. And he remembers when his dad built the house, the defendant's dad built the house out on the hill outside of town. And oh, that house, how beautiful it was as you walk up to the beautiful front doors and you open the doors and the beautiful wood staircase that would go up to the second floor, and how wonderful it was to be able to spend time in the house and the peacefulness that was there. And never once does this character witness describe to the court the true character of this person. And you might say, well, what kind of a witness is he? But yet so many times in our Christian life, we'll go out and we'll share with somebody how wonderful it is that we have the peace of God in our life. And one day we're going to go to heaven and we're not going to have any more pain. We're not going to have any more sorrow. We're going to be walking the streets of gold and rejoicing and praising God for what He has done in our life. And never once do we share with them that God is a holy God, that He's a just God, that He's a gracious and a loving God. And we don't testify of the characteristics of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. What is your life this morning? What do the people see when they look at your life? Do they see a God who's reaching out to a lost world? Or do they see a materialistic Christian who's given in to the cravings of the flesh? Oh, if we're going to be the testimony, the witness that Christ would have us to be this morning, we need to recognize that the power of the witness is the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize that the message of the witness is Jesus Christ. We need to recognize thoroughly that the scope of the witness is the entire world. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 here, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. You know, we need to recognize that the message of the witness, the gospel story, needs to go out to the entire world. But isn't it, where does Jesus begin with missions here in this verse? And if you read the Great Commission, where does missions begin? In this case, it begins right here in Jerusalem. It begins where the disciples are living. And in our case, this is our Jerusalem. This is where you live on a daily basis. You see, missions begins at home. And if we don't have a solid base for missions right here at home, we're not going to have a foundation for missions in other parts of the world. It begins right here at home. In my case, missions began in Jefferson, Wisconsin, at Calvary Baptist Church. And the Lord has sent us out from there. And oh, how thankful I am that I have the opportunity to be able to go to South Korea and to serve the Lord in a foreign field. But folks, you need to understand, it begins right here at home. Let me ask you, do you know God's will for your neighbor's son? Do you know God's will for your coworker? Have you ever testified to them? Have you ever shared God's word with them? You see, it could be that they would become the next Adoniram Judson or William Carey or some great missionary of the past that we read about and look up to so today. And it could be that through your witness, it begins right here at home, you could testify to them, whether it be a neighbor, a coworker, a loved one, and God would work in their heart and they would accept Christ as their Savior and they'd get discipled. Maybe they'd come here to church and you'd have opportunity to work with them and disciple them and see them grow in the Lord. And one day they surrendered their life to go out from this place into another part of the world. And through your witness that begins right here at home, you're effectively reaching another part of the world. We saw an example of it last night. And how exciting it is to be involved in missions. But what about your neighbor? What about your coworker? What about the loved one that you see on a regular basis? Are you sharing God's word with them? I have cousins that live up in Minnesota. My mom grew up in Brainerd, Minnesota. And how often I have pled with the Lord that somebody would share the gospel with them. And how many times I've been to family reunions and I've failed. And I've failed. And I've failed. Don't let that be your testimony. I remember one time I had opportunity to share the gospel with my cousin's son. Unfortunately, he didn't accept Christ as his Savior. But oh, the peace that I had because I did what God had prompted me to do. See, if we're going to be the witness that Christ would have us to be, we need to realize that the power of the witness is the Holy Spirit. The message of the witness is Jesus Christ. The scope of the witness is the entire world. And quickly, as we look at verses 9 through 11, we need to recognize the urgency to be a witness is the return of Jesus Christ. These are some fascinating verses here. I want you to get the picture here. In verse 9, remember the disciples had all come together with Christ. And Christ has risen from the dead. Keep that in mind. And if you saw somebody, if somebody walked in here today that you 3 days ago you had the funeral for, you saw them up here in the casket, you went to the gravesite ceremony, and you put them in the ground, and all of a sudden 3 days later they appear before you, wouldn't you be hanging on every word that they had to say if you didn't run first? And the disciples, they come together here with Jesus. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, while they're so intently listening to every word that he says, He was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. So all of a sudden, as Christ finishes talking to the disciples here and giving them the commission, he begins to rise up off the ground. And you look at verse 10, and while they look steadfastly toward heaven, now they've really got their attention. Now they're looking steadfastly toward heaven as they look up and see Christ as he ascends up into heaven. And two men stood by them in white apparel. Two angels appeared to them. And I want you to listen to the response of these angels as they stood by the disciples, which also said in verse 11, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." What are the angels saying here? The disciples are gathered around. They're looking steadfastly up into heaven. And they've seen their beloved Jesus as he's ascended up into heaven. The angels appear to them and they said, "You disciples, why are you just standing here gazing up into heaven? He's just giving you a commission because one day he's going to come back. And at that point, your opportunity to be a witness will be no more. No longer will you be able to talk to your coworker. No longer will you be able to talk to your loved one, your family member, your neighbor, because our opportunity will be gone." And you add to that in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." The point is this: one day we're going to stand face to face with Jesus Christ. And we're going to give an account for the kind of witness that we have been. Oh, what is your life? Are you testifying? Are you a witness of what Christ has done in your life? You see, if we're going to be the witness that Christ would have us to be, we need to realize the power of the witness is the Holy Spirit. We need to realize the message of the witness is Jesus Christ. We need to realize the scope of the witness is the entire world. We need to realize the urgency to be a witness is the return of Christ. What we have here is a description of a Christian right out of the book of Acts. Somebody who is filled and obedient to the Holy Spirit, surrendered in obedience. Let me ask you, are you obediently following the commands of Scripture? Are you seeing the Lord changing lives around you? Oh, that we would surrender to Him today and allow God to use us to be the witness that He would have us to be. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be called the children of God. Lord, we pray now that you would work in our hearts and lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.